Well, I didn't know if I was going to be speaking to the choir or people that are unfamiliar with Science of Mind, or anyone anywhere in between. So I see a few faces I don't know, so I'll sort of head for the middle ground. Connie gave me the assignment of chapter 3 of this book by Ernest Holmes, the collected writings, The Science of Mind, the essential Ernest Holmes. And basically it's the teaching in a bunch of chapters. And she gave me the third chapter, and I didn't know that. I thought I was supposed to cover the whole chapter, so I get down there and I'm outlining it and breaking it up into segments. And then she says to me, after I've been doing this, she said, well, you don't have to speak about all of it. Just pick something in it to speak about. Well, I don't know. I've got an outline here, and I feel a little chagrined. Did all that work, and I could have picked one phrase. Anyway, the topic is what the mind can conceive, it can achieve. And I'll restate that in the way I'm used to hearing it. What the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So I broke the whole chapter and the topic into three parts. I asked myself, what is this mind? And then I asked myself, how do we use it? And then I asked myself, what do we expect from our use of mind? And so I'll start with point one, which only goes for an hour or so, you know. somebody be in charge of the time. If I go over 20 minutes, let me know. What is this mind? Well, mind is all there is. Mind is universal. Mind is the universe. Mind is God. Mind is everything. Everything you can think of, it's mind. And I got to thinking about, I was looking out of the window at Connie's yesterday, and I got to thinking about all the space around me. Oh, wow, it's all mind. And I'm living in the middle of it. So we're living in the middle of this mind. So what is it we're living in the middle of? It's everything there is, and I want to emphasize how big it is. And so I've asked Carla to read a couple of paragraphs out of the Science Mind magazine, which gives us some idea of how big mind is. Go for it.
They say the Earth rotates around the Sun at 67,000 miles per hour, while our solar system orbits the Milky Way galaxy at 514,000 miles per hour. It will take our solar system 230 million years to orbit the Milky Way, which is one of many galaxies that make up what is known as the local group. The local group of galaxies is in turn hurtling at 375 miles per second toward the Virgo cluster, an enormous collection of galaxies 65 million light years away. Nebulas burst into being and black holes swallow stars. All of this taking place in a cosmic soup of neutrality.
Thank you. So another name for mind is the cosmic soup, which we all live in, move in, have our being in, we came from, we return to, well, we're never apart from it. So that word return doesn't really gel. To prepare myself, I listened to Connie's talk in January last time on chapter she gave. Mm-hmm. And she seemed to cover it all nicely. So if I miss something out, you're covered. You can go on the Sterling Study Group website and listen to Connie and get anything I miss out. So what is this mind? It's all out there. Mm-hmm. It's not only universal and enormous, way past, I don't know about the rest of you, but I cannot conceive of the size of the universe. It's just beyond anything that I can really comprehend. It's got characteristics. It's self-existent, and this is all quoting now. It's self-existent, it's self-creating, it's self-perpetuating, it's self something or other. It's self-expressing. What's that?
Animating.
Thank you. It's self-animating. It's good to have someone that can read your writing. Maybe I'll put my glasses on. So that's how Ernest Holmes described mind. Now, I think of it in a much simpler way. If mind is all there is and I'm a part of that and I'm using it all the time in my life, how can I think of it in a way that works for me, that isn't so huge that I'm just boggled by it? So the way I think of it is, well, it reminds me of a movie. Did you all see Forrest Gump? I don't know why this comes to mind, but he said, "Life is like a box of chocolates." Ooh, okay, I can go with that one, but it doesn't quite say it for me. And then I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning, and I thought, oh, I know what it's like. Life is like a jigsaw puzzle. Okay, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It has its straight edge. It has some construction for us. That's our physical being. It has straight edges and it has, all shapes within it. And we can use it. We can put it together. But unless we look at the picture on the box, we don't know quite what we're putting together. We have to match up colors. Some people match up shapes, some people match up colors. And so I'm thinking of mind as being like pieces of a puzzle. And we put together little bits of the puzzle as we need it. I was in the United Kingdom with my motorhome, which was put me in a very small category. They have motorhomes, but they're different than the American ones. I couldn't find service. I couldn't find people that knew about the American engines. The campgrounds didn't have the right place for me to empty my tank. And altogether, it was like the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle were just heaped in a mess. And I had to make some sense out of it because I was there for 5 months. So I sat to and I used my mind to kind of figure this out. I thought, well, I got to take care of this motorhome myself if no one else will do it. I went to the garage to have them do an oil change and they said, oh, we've never worked on an American engine before. So I thought, ooh, that's not sounding too good. So my brother helped me find the right oil, and we did it ourselves. And it went on like that. The motorhome was really tricky in England. However, I just kept knowing that it would be okay. I found a place to stay at night, and everything worked fine. In a sort of challenging sort of way. Anyway, back to what is this mind? It's meant to be used. And I'd never done a lot of the things on my motorhome that I was called to do. But it's all in universal mind. And if you need to know something, you can access it. And maybe you don't access it the way you think you will. I couldn't find RV service center. Bring your RV in and we'll do this, that, and the other. But so I asked the manager of the local bakery. I mean, she was handy. And I said, I need an immobilizer in my motorhome. I don't even know what an immobilizer is. Can you help me? She said, well, my dad might know. So she calls her dad, who owns the bakery, and no, he didn't know, but he had a friend who did. So he called the friend, and the friend said, well, yes, I used to put those in, but I don't do it anymore. Have a call this person. And eventually, I think after about four levels down, I found someone who could do it for me. And the answer was there all the time. And what I found was sometimes to find our answers, we've just got to ask someone, because everyone is tapped into universal mind in a different way, in a different level. They all know different things. The scientists tap in and access all the scientific work that we, technology. That those are the techies that tap into universal mind. Everything that's ever known is there. And everything that's ever to be known is there, that we aren't even aware of yet. And it's all in the form of ideas in universal mind. And if we need information, then my technique is to ask at the bakery store. You might have a different technique. Let me see, where am I going from here? I love that thought of being in the universal mind, surrounded. And of course, we're not separate from it. I didn't mention that, but we're a part of it. We're not separate from it. We feel separate because we've got a body. But we're really not separate. And our mind, which we sort of locate up here, is not separate at all. And we can't see mind physically. So it's a bit easier to understand that it's part of the whole universal mind. So that's mind. Okay, I've done my best. How do we use it? Well, I think I incorporated that too. But there's two ways to use mind. You can use it in your everyday life by the spiritual understanding you're operating on, by the consciousness level you're operating on. You automatically use mind. Or you can use it intentionally, and in science of mind we call that affirmative prayer. It's an intentional use of mind. Using it unintentionally, I think I had a lovely, I'll put my glasses. I think I had a lovely quote from Ernest here. Oh, yes. There should be a balance between the inner and the outer states. From an inner communion of the soul with the spirit, there comes inspiration and guidance. But this inner state would remain an idle dream unless heaven were brought to earth. And spirit, this is what I like, spiritual perception woven into the fabric of everyday experience. And really that's all I have to share with you, is that my spiritual perception is woven into the fabric of my experience, as is yours. And we're all at different levels of perception, so it'll come across differently to each one of us. But how it's shown up for me is an intentional use of mind. I'll first of all say intentional use of mind, which we call affirmative prayer, is a sort of five-step thing which we inform our minds that we're understanding, that God is all there is, we're a part of it, God is all there is, the universe, the universal mind, we're a part of that, we're not separate. And then we affirm what it is that we can believe and conceive and we want to achieve. Okay, before you all came in today, I decided I better put my, you know, I I better prove this before I talked about it. So I just, in my affirmative prayer, my quick way, I said, okay, God, every table filled. Finish. Because I could believe that and I could accept it, and here you all are. So thank you for being a part of my affirmative belief and prayer today. And then the fourth step that we use is to let it go, because we don't do the work. God, Spirit, Universal Mind does the work. It knows where everyone is located today that needed to have a place at the table. It knew where you all were, where you live, what you were doing, and it put it into all of your heads to be here. And so here you are. That's how I love the concept of universal mind, because I spent some time in Australia. And sometimes, you know, you have an affirmation and you can believe it. And in order to achieve it, the result has to come from, say, Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom. Or it might come from next door, but you don't know, and it's not your business to know. Only that creating mind needs to know and supply for you. So we use it every day when we think. Now, here's another good thing to think of from Ernest. I don't know if Ernest said, a trained mind is more powerful than an untrained mind. But it means, since we use this power as we think all the time, we better watch what we think. Because what we think is what we're going to believe we can have and receive, and it might not be the best. We might start thinking a little negatively and giving power to the negative. I think it was Reverend Jane Beach said how, she's a minister in California, she said how powerful we are with our thoughts. And she's absolutely right. What we think is what we're going to, what we can create is often what we create for ourselves. So I must admit to falling into the trap a little when I first got to England, after I'd been rebuffed a couple of times by people saying, oh, we don't have that here. Oh, I don't know how to do that. I kind of got a little bit negative and thought, well, there's nobody to help me. How do I do this? And I turned to the internet and taught myself from YouTube. And my brother helped me, and he learns on YouTube too. So there always is help, but don't get trapped in negative thinking, because the universal mind doesn't care. It'll just as soon create what you set up rolling in the negative than the positive. So keep your thinking positive, and you'll see those wonderful good things happening in your life. Now, there was a third point in this chapter that I so thoroughly read all week. What do we expect from mind? What do we expect? It helps if we know what we expect, because then we know how to think. If I don't expect much, then I'm not going to think that way. I have a spiritual practice, and it isn't very tough. It isn't very difficult. But it's a spiritual practice that I do almost every night. Now, it's been altered a little bit since I've been at Connie's, because you'll hear why. The first thing, I give thanks. I give thanks for everything that I value in my life. So the first thing I give thanks for is my motorhome and my home. And I've been switching it to, I've been giving thanks for Connie's home, since that's where I am. And I give thanks for my comfortable bed. And then I give thanks for my good health. And then I give thanks for my wealth. And then I give thanks for the spirit within that guides me. and then I give thanks for my family and friends. It takes me 2 minutes. And what happens is it's all magnified because I say that almost, and I don't say it out loud. I say that almost every night, and it's sort of over and over in my mind. So what you say gets magnified. So my but since I've been doing this, my family has been magnified. I've discovered a relationship with a sister I never had any relationship with before. And there are two more that I haven't even met yet. So there's more to come. I'm trying to think. Oh, health. That's an interesting one. I had some surgery a couple of, you know, I'm getting into the personal now because really my personal experience with mind and how it works and what it is, that's all I can share with you. You know, I can share the rest from the book, but you can read this and probably have read it yourself. Some of you I know have read it and taught from it. So I can share with you my experiences. In the area of health, I was having some eye surgery a couple of years ago, and I had a little, whatever it was, just below my eye, and it wouldn't go away. It was a little, whatever it was. And I'd had it for about 2 years, and I just figured I'd have to live with it. Well, after my eye surgery, I saw things differently. Pun. And what I started to do is ask my body what it needed from me in order to heal that little area that never healed. And you'll see a little scar there, and I don't mind it because it reminds me how powerful the body is. I'd had it for 2 years, and it took 2 weeks to disappear completely. And just left a little mark, but I don't mind that. So health, I learned to use my positive thinking for my health. And just recently, I had... Everyone was getting the flu in England, and I don't know if it was bad here. Yes, but my brother got something, a cough or something. And I never catch things off people, so I didn't worry. But actually, I did end up with a cough. And I coughed and I coughed and I coughed so much that I thought I damaged my throat. I couldn't speak properly. I mean, my voice was all croaky. And even for today, I didn't know if I was going to be able to speak in a way that you could hear me. But I said, okay, what do I need to do to let my throat heal? And I get a simple answer. Oh, I forgot to tell you the answer with my face there. What my body told me to do was leave it alone. You know how if you've got a sore place, you pick at it? He just said, leave it alone, we can do it, but you keep interfering. And and so I have these conversations with the cells in my body. But I'm really talking to the intelligence of the universe. And it says, yeah, we got the answer if you listen. Where do I go from here? Oh, yeah, health, wealth. Wealth to me is always having what I need when I need it. And the amazing thing is that is true. I'm just shipping my motorhome from England to the United States, and I got a bill for $4,300, and I had decided to put it on my very low interest credit card and pay it off over 6 months. I didn't feel bad about doing that because it's such a large amount at one time, and I looked at my credit card, and yes, I had $100 to spare. I could splurge. after the $4,300. So it was all done. But I've always had what I needed when I needed it. And I don't hesitate if something needs taken care of in my motorhome, and the service department says $800, and it's something I can't do, I say do it. Because I know I'm always supplied. It's my home, it's important to me, and I affirm that I'm supplied, and I am. And then the spiritual, I always give thanks for the spirit within, because that's what guides me. I recently went to England, which is my home country, and I was going to live there, period, end of days there. However, once I got there, I knew that that wasn't going to be. And I almost immediately started making plans to return, because I knew that that wasn't right for me, but it accomplished something. I spent more time with my brother than in my entire life. We are like that. We get along great. He enjoyed having me. I didn't stay in his home all the time. I was staying in my motorhome, but I would visit him pretty much every day. We were in a little village, and I parked in the center of the village, and he lived like 5 seconds away from the center of town. So I saw him nearly every day. It worked for both of us. So I really value the spirit within. And the last one, friends and family, I give thanks for. I give thanks for my family. It is growing bigger. I've got a nephew who one day I'll probably get married and give me grandnephews or whatever. I think he's already a great nephew. I think he'll be great greats. And so my family is growing, and my friends, what brought me back to this country is many of you in this room and scattered throughout this country. I've spent 50 years accumulating friends all over this country. I could not live without them in the United Kingdom. I felt like straight away it was like, but I miss my friends. And my brother said, why are you going back? And I said, I miss my friends. And he said, I understand. He wanted me to stay in the worst way. But I said, no, I can't do that. But I'll be back for visit. So that's how mind works for me. That's what I expect out of it. Your expectations are your expectations. But I guess what I want to say is choose carefully where your mind stays and where your mind focuses. That's the word I want, because it's all creative. And your mind is not separate from the universal mind, which is creative. So whatever you dwell on is going to manifest in your life. So think carefully on that, and you can have a great time. You can have a great life. You can have great experiences. There'll be difficulties maybe along the way also, but you'll be able to think through them in a constructive way that will set you back on a more desired path. Life is a journey, and sometimes you get off the main path and you take a little side branch and it peters out. Well, that's okay. You can come back and try again. And there's someone somewhere, something somewhere that knows where you're going. I'm not sure exactly where my path leads. Let's go back to the jigsaw puzzle a minute. How am I for time?
It's been about 25, 30 minutes.
Oh, yes, you told me 20 minutes has passed. Thank you. Let's just go back to the jigsaw for a minute. When you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, we all do it differently. Some people do the straight edges. Some people do a little corner. Some people go for the colors. Maybe there's a bird on there, and someone wants to do just the bird. Maybe there's some writing. That's my favorite. I like to do the writing. We all do it differently. There is a right way and a wrong way. But I would say there is a best way for you to use mind. So I guess my time is up, and I'm going to end here and wish you all a wonderful journey, a wonderful completion of your personal jigsaw puzzle, which is your life. I hope there's a beautiful picture for you at the end. I'm sure there will be. And just remember to keep your mind clicking along in a positive way. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. I didn't see it, but thank you.